The Buffalo News Ice Time podcast is brought to you by Express Windows. Windows starting at $359 installed. Visit expresswindowsinc.com.
Welcome to Ice Time. I'm Lance Lysowski, the Sabres beat writer for the Buffalo News, joined as always by Mike Harrington, who comes to us live from Tampa, getting ready for the Sabres road trip. Of course, they play the Lightning on Thursday. They play the Panthers on Saturday. That's not what we're going to talk about, Mike. Not really whatsoever. The trade deadline is Friday at 3 p.m. And we've got news right off the hop. The Sabres and Jordan Greenway closing in on a two-year contract. No surprise here, right? I mean, this is a player that Kevin Adams came out and said he wanted him back. Greenway wanted to stay. He's a New York guy, and it's worked out well for both sides since he arrived 2 years ago.
Yeah, this is a veteran guy who gives them something unique that they don't have. They don't have a lot of that toughness. They don't have a lot of that grit up front. He's a good penalty killer. He's, like you said, a New York guy. And when you have a veteran player who wants to be here, who contributes, you've got to keep him. And we saw how much Lindy Ruff enjoyed having Jordan Greenway in his lineup. And, you know, it's one of the first three things of this deadline that we expect to go down here. And I think he was the most likely to re-sign. And, you know, they're going to get the job done here and then move on to other things.
So even if the contract, Mike, is around $4 million per year, it's an overpay for a fourth-line player. It's fine, though. This team has a ton of cap space. They need veteran players. Attracting free agents is going to be a problem. We know Kevin Adams talked about palm trees back in December. Acquiring them is going to be an issue. And penalty killer, good defender. He just needs to stay healthy, in my opinion. When he's been on the ice, he's made an impact in his role.
He has, and the penalty kill has struggled at times this year. And what's one of the big factors of the penalty kill struggle? The times Greenway is not in the lineup. It makes a big difference when he's out there. I really think that it's one of those moves where Adams got him for a draft pick a couple of years ago when he was hurt at the deadline, one of those players with term. And that's the kind of thing Adams is going to be looking at here this week. Is there somebody out there like Greenway, like Bowen Byram last year, who's a more of a veteran type player with term that Adams can acquire with an eye on this team's roster for next season?
Fan reaction, at least based on social media, pretty mixed when it comes to Greenway coming back, the contract. I think what some people are overlooking, though, Mike, is the fact that you need to convince guys to stay. The perception matters. Guys around the league, if they see you just trade away Greenway for draft picks, trade away Zucker for draft picks, and continue to just kind of lean younger, everybody on the outside is going to think, well, nobody wants to be there. But the fact that you convinced a guy to stick around who's been here for 2 years under these circumstances while the media across North America is questioning, what are all these guys in that dressing room thinking right now? Do they want to still be in Buffalo? And this is somebody who was going to have a market. Jordan Greenway is not somebody who nobody else wanted. Teams were calling Kevin Adams in the weeks leading up to this trade deadline to try to get him because – you mentioned it right off the top. His skill set, the size, his ability to protect the puck down low, it's not easy to find somebody who can do that, right? I mean, the speed isn't exactly there, but he's a forechecker.
I get it. I get what people are thinking. At this point, last in the Eastern Conference, people just want the whole team traded.
That's
fair. You can't do it. You can't. They want everybody gone. You know, yes, there are people out there who want Dahlin gone and Thompson gone, okay? You can't do that. You have to have a team. You have to have players to finish this season. You have to have a team next season. You know, so every time they re-sign a guy on this, oh, they're in last place. Why re-sign him? You cannot continue to just have the youngest team in the NHL. You need veteran players. I really want to see them re-sign Jason Zucker. I'm not sure it's going in that direction, but that would be another guy I would totally be bringing back. And don't give me this stuff. Oh, I'm just going to roll it back. They're not going to roll it back. People forget Adams almost turned over half the team from last year to this year. Now, some of the moves didn't pan out, but this isn't the same team that played last year. There's about 10 different guys out there. So he'll turn things over if he's still here, which is another whole conversation. But, yeah, you got to bring back some guys who have unique skill sets and who contribute. When the guys are – their shelf life's expired, you get rid of them. You can't just get rid of everybody.
Pro sports, it's all about roles. fitting people into roles. You need those types of players. We see it in the, I know people don't want to hear playoffs. It's probably going to get a chuckle, but no matter what team you're on the NHL, you need guys to fill those roles. Right. The Sabres, yes, they do need top six players. We're going to get to that point. And our next topic is going to be Zucker, but you also need to fill out the rest of your roster. And Greenway, yes, there's risk involved. They've got a ton of cap space. They're going to have trouble spending, you know, spending to the floor even at some point if they have to get rid of a couple of guys who don't want to stick around. So Zucker is the perfect segue. He is our second topic, Mike.
Don't wait months for new windows on your home. Express Windows can have them installed in just weeks with high-quality double-hung windows starting at only $359. Call Express Windows for a free at-home estimate or stop by our showroom on Delaware Avenue in Tonawanda.
You mentioned it. This is somebody that they have been trying for several weeks to sign. He's their best forward free agent signing in two decades. I mean, he's been the most one of the most productive since Rick Dudley in the 70s. Right. And so how many times over the years have we seen like guys sign in Buffalo, even if, you know, they're overpaid and it just doesn't work out?
Right.
You know, it's not a good fit. This is one of the few guys who have come to Buffalo and they become rejuvenated in some way. Zucker wasn't this good and productive last season between Arizona and Nashville.
No. And if he comes back, they're going to put an A on him if he comes back. You know, no question about it. Now, let's see if there's been conversations and Zucker wants to chase a cup. This could be the third year in a row he gets traded at the deadline. He went last year to Nashville. He went from Minnesota to Pittsburgh. Maybe he went, not third year in a row. I don't know. I'm getting my years screwed up.
Third time. Home.
He's been
third
traded
time in his career, though. Yeah.
Right. So he may just want to say to them, look, let me go chase a cup. I think there's an outside chance they could get a first-round pick for him based on what you're seeing in the other deals on the market right now. And maybe you get back to him in July. Maybe you don't get him back, but I think it's a guy the Sabres want to pursue. And I think he signed for 1 year and $5 million. I think there's probably a two, maybe even three-year deal out there with the Sabres. And Zucker has to decide if he wants to be here. I do think Zucker, because he's 33 years old, is going to want to say to the Sabres, who's going to be the GM here and who's going to be the coach here next year? And if that information is not real solidified, I think that's going to be a factor. But he's one of the players. It's pretty obvious to me which guys have meshed with Lindy Ruff and which guys have not. Jason Zucker is clearly a guy who has meshed with Lindy Ruff. Lindy Ruff wanted more veteran players in here. So if Lindy Ruff is back, I think that's a positive for Jason Zucker. But I think he's got to see what's out there. And, you know, the longer it goes, obviously, and the Sabres don't have to trade him. But if you're not going to re-sign him, you don't want to lose him for nothing either, because there's certainly a market for his services. But, yeah, it's a guy I'd like to see them keep.
No other team is going to be able to give Zucker as much salary or term as the Sabres would. And that is very important at a player at that stage of his career, right? It's been a good fit for him. The teammates around him, they've really embraced him. He's been a perfect fit on and off the ice. And it might be the case, Mike, where he says, listen, I'm going to go try to win a Stanley Cup. Let's see what you guys do over the next couple of months, and let's revisit this in July.
Let's knock it in.
Because so much is up in the air right now. He may want to see what other guys on this team are thinking. What's Tuck going to do come July 1? Is Tuck going to sign an extension? Or are we going to see Alex Tuck go somewhere else this summer with 1 year left on his deal? Is Bowen Byram going to sign? If this team looks like it's getting younger or worse, Zucker's not going to want to come back. So right now, with where he's at and the options that are probably going to be presented to him by his agent, yeah, he's going to be able to make a decision.
Don't talk like that. You know, is this team going to get worse? I mean, right after we just saw them get boat raced at home by the Sharks, and now you're talking about
the talent on this team could get worse. I think the talent on this team has gotten better from a year ago. I don't think that this team has gotten worse talent-wise. I think they've gotten worse as a group in terms of how they're handling adversity. And quite frankly, I think they hired their own coach. And it's not because Lindy Ruff's not a good coach. I think they hired a coach who wasn't fit for a lot of the guys on this roster. So you have players who were brought in to play for Don Granato who aren't necessarily a fit for Lindy Ruff. And you go from one extreme where Don Granato, let's face it, he was very protective of players and tried to bring them along and boost their confidence. And it didn't work, obviously. But then you have Lindy Ruff, who at times was – he's been really hard on these guys. He's a blunt person. His personality's not for everybody. And some of these guys, it hasn't meshed. So it is going to be interesting here because I do think that Ryan McLeod, I think, has been a better player for this team than Casey Mittelstadt. I think that that's just a better upgrade. The fourth line is better, in my opinion. Byram is a better defenseman than what they had had. So right now, I think you just got to keep upgrading your roster. And then, yeah, I mean, there's going to be a decision about the GM and the coach, but we're going to get to that.
Lindy Ruff would look like a fine coach in this team if he got more saves, Lance.
I think it's more complicated. I think it's more complicated than that personally.
It's more complicated than that, but that's a major issue this year with this team. They are not getting enough saves.
It's fair. Yeah. All right. Third topic. The rest of these guys. It's funny because we're at the point with the Sabres being in last place, every national reporter not having any sort of pulse on what direction this general manager is going to go. They're essentially naming every player on the roster who's either pending RFA. Well, even the ones who have terms on their contract. We've heard Power. Paterka makes sense because I don't think he's happy. He's an RFA. Offer sheets are going to be a thing again this summer, especially with the cap going up. But the reality is, Mike, more likely than not, this is going to be a quiet week compared to what we saw last year. I don't think that Byram for Mittelstadt type of deal is going to be made before Friday at 3. I could be wrong, but especially with where the types of players we're talking about here, Kevin Adams doesn't want futures. You know, the Tampa Bay Lightning, they wanted Alex Tuch, but they wanted to give draft picks. They just traded those draft picks to Seattle, by the way. That's not the type of deal Buffalo wants, and it's really challenging to find that perfect match when it comes to a hockey trade at this time of year.
Yeah, and how about the Lightning make that deal? Seattle picks up a ton of picks. The Lightning get Yanni Gourde back. They get Oliver Bjorkstrand back. The Sabres are in Tampa Thursday night. The Lightning are going for it. Vasilevsky's having a great season. They're suddenly 9-1 in their last 10. I don't know what the Leafs in Florida must be thinking right now, but it's got to be nerve-wracking because the Lightning look really good. And that's a team that's kind of going for things. And you're right, though. They traded a bunch of their picks. All the rumors about Tuch and Tampa, well, there's nothing left really for the Lightning to trade to Buffalo anyway. And I just do not believe, maybe we'll be proven wrong, I do not believe for a second that they are trading Alex Tuch at this deadline. If you've spent 3-4 years like Kevin Adams has spent talking about, we want players who want to be in Buffalo, and you get a guy who grew up wearing the goat head, who was a neighbor of Tim Conley, who talks about Maxim Afinogenov and Brian Campbell and all those guys at his first press conference, and you're going to dump him at the trade deadline? I don't think so. Not happening.
Totally agree with you. It is imperative for this management group and ownership to convince Alex Tuch that there is a plan. You have to communicate a plan. I know you spoke to him, what was that, about 10 days to 2 weeks ago at this point, and he's open to signing an extension here come July 1st when he's eligible, but you have to show him that this is going to be different. You can't just continue to elevate kids from Rochester. You can't just continue to be in the murky middle or at the bottom of the league. He's 28 years old. This might be the last big deal that he signs. More likely than not, it's going to be the last big contract that he signs. He's going to be selective. He's earned that opportunity. He has been patient. He's said all the right things. He has done all the right things. He's been productive. Every team in the league, every contender in the league wants Alex Tuch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So look at what he could offer them.
He is, and again, I think that he is the one player that was overlooked in all that talk about Four Nations. We spoke about it on this podcast. I know others in the local media probably did, but in the national conversation, I don't think that he is appreciated enough. Mike, when it comes to all these players, Paterka, McLeod, Tuch, Byram, if I could get – which two players would you want to extend first? If you could prioritize two of those players, who would you want to give contract extensions to first?
You really – Paterka to me is going to be a massive overpay. I'm looking – if I want to keep building this team, I definitely need Tuch. He's a core player. He's a core leader. He's a guy who wants to be here. He's the closest thing to a local guy other than Dennis Gilbert you're going to have. He's a believer in what they've been doing here for a long time. Byram is a guy you traded Mittelstadt for, is a guy who's already won a Stanley Cup, who has played very well with Dahlin, has made Dahlin a better player. Dahlin's made him a better player. I want to make sure I keep Byram and Tuch. That's where my starting point is. Because if you look at this roster and you look at top-end players, do the Sabres have enough top-end players? Who's a top-end player in this roster? Thompson, Dahlin, Tuck, Byram, Stanley Cup winner. Who else is a top-end player on this team other than those four?
That would be it.
I like McLeod. I like Zucker. They're not top-end players. They're strong, veteran, complementary, middle six guys. Top-end talent. Those are the four in my mind. Not the goalies. Really no one else. It's those four. So you've got to get Tuck and Byram back to stay on this team.
Paterka has potential to potentially become a top-end player. But right now, Mike, I would be concerned about giving him a seven-year contract. The turnovers, the bad plays in the defensive zone, the bad body language. And suddenly, under the circumstances, not a coincidence, his name is being sort of bandied about the league. I don't think that's a coincidence. He doesn't strike me as somebody who's been happy this season. He isn't. Doesn't seem like he's really meshed with Lindy Ruff as much as other guys may have. And you're right. I mean, especially if you're trying to get – he has a lot of trade value. And I think that in the right deal, it would make sense. Now, I know that offer sheets are going to be a big part of the conversation once we get to the summer. Yeah. Because of the cap going up to where it is, all these owners and general managers saw what St. Louis did and how well it worked, right? Yeah. And they caught the Edmonton Oilers by surprise. Now, the Sabres won't be caught by surprise. You know, if they decide we're keeping Paterka, he gets an offer sheet, they're going to match it. They've got the money. They don't need draft picks. It wouldn't make sense, but that kind of makes you wonder, though, if you're Kevin Adams or whoever's running this team at the end of this season.
Trade him now.
It's exactly it, right? I mean, capitalize on the value to avoid that and avoid that entire situation so you could get the types of pieces that you actually need. And we've heard, if Kevin Adams is in charge, how many times have we heard him say, I want guys who want to be here? Well, if J.J. Paterka decides he doesn't want to be here, are you really going to match an offer sheet with a guy who doesn't want to play in Buffalo anymore? It's a very tricky situation.
But here's the deal. You can't be matching an offer sheet for a guy who doesn't want to be here. You've got to trade him before that, because if you match the offer sheet, you're stuck with a $7 million deal. If you don't match it, you don't need the draft picks at this point in time. That's not going to help you. That's why if there's a hockey deal to be made right now, on this team, if there's a Byram middle stat trade to be made right now this week, it's going to involve J.J. Paterka. I think he would be the target of other people. He would be the guy that Kevin Adams would try to make that deal with. You know, I got to believe the Pittsburgh Penguins are circling the Sabres for somebody like J.J. Paterka. We know that Kyle Dubas wants to get some more young talent. I got to believe that's a guy at least that they've bandied about. But the Sabres can't risk the J.J. Paterka offer sheet, and I think that's a real dilemma here that hasn't been in play in the NHL for a while. But you're right. Edmonton going out and signing Jeff Skinner and Victor Arvidsson left them really vulnerable, and St. Louis pounced on them.
One factor to consider here, J.J. Paterka and Tage Thompson work extremely well together. That is to lose a player who complements your top forward as well as Paterka does with Thompson – it's difficult. Like, this is not the Sabres. This terrible season has created such a predicament for Kevin Adams, because you have guys who may want out. You've got guys who are RFAs. You've got a goalie decision to make this summer, in my opinion, to decide what are you going to do with Devin Levi. I don't think you can put him back in the American Hockey League, but he's not a backup. Lukanen's not having a great season. He's been inconsistent. It's just been bad. It hasn't been
good. Make a save.
It's just the inconsistency that I was like, the game on Tuesday night was a great example where he makes some great saves for two periods. Then he lets in a couple where it's like, what, how does that happen? How do you let that go? Where's your technique? Where are you at? Where's your composure? He's got to be better than that. So it is, they're at a crossroads right now. That's the only way to put it. And when it comes to this team's needs, it's no secret. Not only do they need to keep Byram, Mike, but, and this is a big but, you got to acquire a right shot D that can play in your top four. And I would move Matias Samuelsson as soon as humanly possible. If there's a deal to be made, that contract's going to be tough to move, but I think you'll be able to do it. And that top four spot, we've heard Lindy Ruff, he's frustrated with Matias Samuelsson. Scratched him again the other night, right? Like, something's got to give here. And he was in, they put an A on his chest. He's been paid, and the injuries can't be an excuse any longer. He hasn't been good enough, and it's time that it looks like you got to upgrade over it. So that's got to be a priority.
You're still looking for that right-handed defenseman to play with Owen Power. You really can't give up on Owen Power yet. You still haven't given the number one overall pick in the draft a real partner since he got picked in 2021. If you can get a veteran right-shot defenseman in here, to me, that's really paramount to help your defensive depth, assuming you're keeping Byram. That would be a pretty good top four of Dahlin, Byram, Power, and whoever. And Samuelsson, to me, is the one who's become expendable.
Yeah, two players that I think are pretty interesting when it comes to the big picture are Jack Quinn and Isak Rosén. And I mention those two together because I feel like their roles are probably going to be the same in the NHL, wherever they carve out their careers long term. Rosén, it's getting to the point, Mike, where they've got to give him an opportunity. Get him an opportunity on the power play, a third line role, see what he can do. I'm not saying this to do this today, but after the deadline, as Zucker leaves, take the opportunity to evaluate Rosén and see, okay, is this somebody who's going to take Jack Quinn's spot? Is he somebody that we can kind of count on in being in the mix next year? And where's Jack Quinn going to take his game? Because there's just too many nights, Mike, where he's having trouble holding the puck. There's the turnovers. When he's on, like he was the first game coming out of the break, he looks great. But those games have been too few and far between this season.
They really have. He just has not been the same player. Strangely enough, it's not since the Achilles injury. He hasn't been the same player since the ankle problem that developed in San Jose last season. And I don't think he's meshed real well with Ruff to this point. I don't think he's developed a two-way game. He certainly hasn't had the impact on the power play that they hoped. And you're right. I think there's a little bit of in my mind, these two guys are equivalent. One of them probably needs to go. And maybe you're going to trade Quinn because, well, let's try Rosén here. But, I mean, let's be realistic, too. We know Adams thinks Quinn was his first number one pick. That's going to be a tough one to give up on. I just think there are young players in this organization, whether in Buffalo or Rochester, that really are going to need to go to get a little more veteran help in here. And I think there's definitely a market for Quinn and Rosén. I think you want to give Rosén a shot in the NHL, but I think there's a market for either one based on what trades might be out there. And you just haven't gotten the production from Quinn. You've gotten it from Rosén in the AHL. He really hasn't done much with a limited time in Buffalo, but he hasn't really been given a good chance either. He hasn't given a regular shift. He hasn't been here four or five games. I'd like to see him at some point this year before it ends, go back to Rochester for the playoffs. But Quinn's a tough one. I mean, Quinn and Peterka were supposed to be top-level linchpin players on this team, and it has not happened.
Yeah, and I go back to that playoff run where Peterka was so good for the Amerks and Quinn struggled. And they promoted both of them at the start of the following season. And right. Injuries, and it just his development hasn't gone as expected. He hasn't gained the necessary strength to really make a consistent impact in the NHL, and that was even before the injury. So tough situation. Rosén's one of those guys. I think a team like Pittsburgh is certainly keeping an eye on to see, because Buffalo's going to have to. You mentioned it, they're going to have to move one of these guys at some point, right. And that takes me over to I want to talk about Dylan Cousins, and his name is going to continue to be attached to trade rumors. He's a right shot center, and he's struggling. Like, he'll have seven to ten good games, Mike, and then he goes back to making some of the same mistakes that we've seen all season long. Yeah. 5 years left on that contract. A team like Calgary would just be eager to acquire Cousins. The Flames don't have a right shot center. Now, the Sabres, Peyton Krebs isn't a top six center. He's not. I think that we've seen enough at this point. I don't see that happening. But Noah Osland is going to be a top six center, in my opinion. Right. He needs to get strength. I don't think it would be wise whatsoever to rush him to the NHL next year. He needs another year with the Amerks, in my opinion. But his development, he's just been on an upward trajectory ever since he got healthy. He's filling the net, his two-way game. You should hear the way that Rochester's coach, Mike Leone, talks about Osland. This is somebody who is very much in this team's long-term plans. It's just in the interim, if you move Cousins, Mike, you got to get a center. Now, McLeod, RFA, Tage Thompson's been playing a lot of the wing, and he hasn't been winning enough faceoffs when he has been at center. And we've heard, I don't care if it's Kevin Adams in charge or somebody else, you need to have depth down the middle. They lost it after trading Eichel. They sort of rebuilt it, and now it's a big question mark again, at least in the interim. Long term, they've got prospects, Hellenius as well. But right now, what are you going to do in terms of next season to make sure you're set up well down the middle?
Yeah, I think, you know what, they might be saying to themselves, in whatever order, our top three next year and down the middle are going to be Thompson, Kalik, and McLeod.
And that might be the case.
And that might be the case. And they might be looking, well, we'll trade Cousins. That might get you your defenseman that you need. And we're just going to go with Thompson, Kalik, and McLeod for the top three center roles. I mean, Thompson, you know, I understand why they put him a wing. But the wing thing has started to peter out here now. And you're paying him $7 million to be your number one center. And he kind of needs to go back there. And him and Ruff need to have a meeting of the minds on that thing in the offseason. But I still think Thompson is a center here. And I think that's what their thought process is going to be. We're going to go back to Thompson at center with Kalik, with McLeod, and see. I don't think if you trade Cousins now or even in the summer, I doubt you're getting another veteran center back. I think a Cousins trade is going to be more for other positions, maybe for that defense trade we talked about, because I just think you're right. They're a year away. It's not next year. It's 26-27 where you're probably thinking Austin's going to be ready to be in the NHL. And so you're not going to acquire another veteran center now. If you can get a defenseman for Cousins, I'd probably seriously consider pulling that trigger.
And if you do get a center for Cousins, I think it is going to be a scenario where it's somebody who's struggling on their current team. And right. One of those change of scenery deals, whether it be, and I wouldn't advocate for this under the circumstances, Elias Pettersson.
No,
I'm not convinced the LA Kings are going to keep Quentin Byfield. His transition to center hasn't gone exactly how they've planned, and their window to win. Oh, there's talk about them kind of going after Mikko Rantanen, if not before this deadline Friday, then this summer. Now, that kind of a deal where it's somebody whose development hasn't gone as expected, has hit some roadblocks, and one for one swap or whatever it may be. But yeah, I think that they're going to have to get creative no matter what to fill those two glaring holes. And who can you expect to come up? It's just this team. It was all that talk about a bottom six last summer, Mike. And to the Kevin Adams credit, I think he did a night. Like, Malenstein, I get it. Like, second-round pick was rich. He's been better than Zemgus Girgensons since. He has.
Yeah, by a lot.
Sam Lafferty. Sam Lafferty is disappointed. There's no doubt about that. Some of it's been out. Lindy Ruff has had very little patience for that line all season. Quite frankly, they're getting if they have a bad shift, they're playing 8 minutes. And Nicholas Aube-Kubel, I think he's probably going to get dealt before Friday at 3 o'clock too. If you know if anyone's willing to take on that $1.5 million AAV, so a lot of bottom six, but that top six, you really got to rethink who's going to slot in where. Kulik, yes, I'm with you. Thompson, yes. And we're going to see about Paterka. They got to keep Tuck, in my opinion, at this point. And we'll see about Zucker. I mean, there's just so many unanswered questions, which is the complete opposite of where this general manager wanted to be several months ago. He thought that this was his team. And now, 60 Whoops. Games into the season,
Whoops.
Yeah, really forced to confront. To make some more difficult decisions. And hey, to his credit, the trades that he's made have really, like, a lot of the decisions he's made in terms of, look at McLeod, buying out Skinner, Byram, like, these moves have worked. Like, a lot of, I think that gets overlooked by the inaction. You know, he hasn't been aggressive enough. That he slow played it after 22-23, brought in some of the wrong guys, the wrong free agents. And that's a great transition to our last topic. Mike, the schedule's really hard. Coming up here, there's no doubt about it. That's what makes, I guess, that loss to the Sharks. It's got to be even more difficult for Lindy Ruff to swallow to see who he's going to be facing ahead. But I just want to see how this team reacts to adversity coming up here. Because if they lose Zucker, how are they going to respond to a bad first period? They've been taking a ton of penalties early on. And if they do continue to play like this, Mike, what is this going to mean big picture in terms of the decision that –
Look at Very the cool. schedule.
It's gonna have to make. Yeah, it's bad. It's rough.
Look at the schedule. Tampa, yeah. Florida, Edmonton, Detroit, Vegas, Boston, Utah, Winnipeg, Minnesota. I mean, good Lord, the schedule is brutal. But, you know, ultimately, people say Adams has done nothing or wrong. He's done a lot. He hasn't done enough. He hasn't done some of the right things. He hasn't done nothing, except the real big except. They lost 13 games in a row. Their season was frittered away in December as the GM watched.
Yeah.
He didn't trade anybody. He didn't call somebody up. He didn't send somebody down. He didn't waive anybody. I would have waived Alvé Cabell the morning after that horrible Montreal game when Terry Pegula talked to the team and Alvé Cabell handed the puck over 19 seconds into the game. They're losing. So that, to me, is the career epitaph of Kevin Adams. It's not palm trees and taxes. It's 13-game losing streak doing nothing. And now you have to wonder if the GM is going to stay. I don't know if he's going to stay. He's still at the deadline, so obviously they're going to let him retool a couple things. But it's hard to me. It's hard for me to imagine him still being the GM next year. But to be honest with you, you don't hear anything that he's not going to be the GM next year. You really don't. There's no rumors about there. This is business as usual, it seems, with this team. And Adams has had more than enough time. And what you just said is right. This was supposed to be his team. This was supposed to be the crescendo upward to get this team into the playoffs. And what has it got? They're in last place in the East. They're looking at another top five draft pick, which, by the way, I may add, they should definitely wave in front of every team in the NHL and say, open for business for the number three overall pick if somebody wants to give us a few things for it. It's unbelievable to me that he's going to get another chance if it turns out to be that way. I would certainly be looking for another GM when this season is over.
We've seen throughout Terry Pegula's time as owner, money matters. Yeah. If their season ticket renewals are in a very bad place, as we get closer to April here, Mike, I think we might be having a different conversation because it does come down to money. Terry Pegula does not want to lose $20 to $25 million a year on this team. And if he thinks that firing Kevin Adams and bringing in new leadership is not only going to appease the fan base, but appease all the players in that locker room,
he'll do it.
I mean, history shows us that he does. I mean, that's one big reason why Don Granato is no longer the coach. He got fired and Lindy Ruff was hired because Terry Pegula knew if I hire Lindy Ruff, a PR win for us.
Don't forget this. What's the deadline? The early deadline for season ticket renewals this year. It's March 17th. So if this team really goes downhill with this difficult schedule in the wake of the deadline, and people have to decide by March 17th if they're renewing, and they get a wave after wave after wave of cancellations, that's certainly going to reflect poorly on Adams. And what you're right, it may impact Terry Pegula's.
Phil Housley got fired for the exact same thing, fan outrage, right, and the fear that this could just keep costing them more money. So and you're going to start to have, as if the Sabres continue to struggle, people who are interested in that GM job are going to be putting their name in. They're going to be trying to contact. That's what happens in the National Hockey League. Whether they're assistant GMs or scouting directors across the league or guys who are out of work, they're having their agents try to get a hold of Terry Pegula to let him know that if he does want to make a move, keep me in mind. Because it's already happening.
It's been happening since October. You and I have both gotten a few inquiries about what's going on here.
Yes. Whether it be agents or, executives who are either out of work or work for other teams, everyone wants to know, because as much as everybody thinks they're not going to be able to hire anybody, it's Buffalo, it's on a destination. No. It would be a very attractive job, but there are two things, Mike. Terry Pegula would have to give a 5-year contract to whoever he hires, which he's not comfortable doing usually. And he's going to have to get complete autonomy. He's going to have to take his hands off the steering wheel. You're not going to attract somebody like Jarmo Kekalainen if the owner wants to have his hands on the steering wheel and is trying to dictate what you're doing in the offseason and wants to be in on every meeting. Right, you got to hire people and let them do their jobs. And if Terry Pegula is willing to do that, and he feels that Kevin Adams is no longer the answer here, then I think he won't have trouble finding somebody. He's just gonna have to pay up. But the paying up for a new GM who fixes this is going to pay off, in a much bigger way.
The GM is gonna have to tell Terry, I'm not calling you every day. I'm not talking to you every day. I'm going to be the GM of the team. And that's one of the problems here is that Terry wanted to be listened to because Jason Botterill wasn't listening to him. So now Kevin Adams listens to him, and you see what it got him. It got him nowhere. 5 years in, they have a last place team. So at some point, Terry Pegula should take the lesson from the Bills, get his hands off the steering wheel, and let the GM be the GM.
Yep. And you would think after 13 years that these talking points, Mike, these ideas, that you would think that, yeah, he would have figured it out by now, or the people around him would have steered him in the right direction. But too often he's listened to the wrong people. And here we are.
Billionaires are stubborn.
They certainly are. Well, it is going to be a very interesting, not only a couple of days, but as we just mentioned, yeah, a couple of months here as we try to see what they're going to do, how they're going to try to fix this. He's Mike Harrington. Mike, yeah, he's going to be there for, of course, the games against the Lightning and the Panthers, the trade deadline. Kevin Adams is going to talk, Mike, for the first time since the press conference.
Let's see how he does. Somewhat interesting. Maybe just let's not have a YouTube moment here, Kevin. Let's just talk about the information.
Communicate a plan. No excuses. Fans are tired of hearing excuses. I understand the realities of no trade clauses. He's not wrong. No. Like, and he framed it, like the full quote was, but you can't say that stuff with where this team is at right now. Okay.
What's the plan for this team?
Communicate.
Yes.
What is your plan? So it is going to be very interesting. A couple hours after the deadline ends, or the deadline passes, we'll hear from Kevin Adams. Plenty of coverage on the way. You're going to hear from us again after the deadline. So we'll get another podcast coming up. He's Mike Harrington. I'm Lance Lysowski. Thanks for joining us, and talk to you again soon.
Express Windows is a best of 716 favorite for window and door installation. They also offer discounts for military personnel and seniors. Learn more at expresswindowsinc.com. Express Windows. Fast, easy, affordable.